Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 2nd, 2023. Stars light up in the laboratory. American scientists have made a breakthrough in the research of the process of controlled thermonuclear fusion. For more than 60 years, scientists have been struggling with this problem, trying to reproduce in the laboratory the nuclear reaction that naturally occurs on the Sun and other stars. Thermonuclear fusion is a process directly opposite to nuclear fission, which is used in atomic bomb explosions. If such a synthesis becomes controlled, it will open unique opportunities for creating practically inexhaustible and environmentally friendly energy sources that do not produce harmful emissions of carbon dioxide or radioactive waste. Experts say that one glass of liquid hydrogen, used as fuel for thermonuclear fusion, can provide a house with energy for several hundred years. It is assumed that poor countries will be able to receive virtually free energy in any quantity. Of course, if this discovery comes to practical use, it will be a great gift to humanity. However, we have seen many times in the past that such great discoveries do not benefit men. There are many people who earn money by burning oil and gas, and therefore, they are not interested in such a discovery. They will not want to give humanity such a big gift in the form of an unlimited source of energy. Therefore, I do not think that such a revolution in the energy sector can happen before humanity corrects itself for the benefit of the entire world. There is no doubt that all suppliers of conventional fossil fuels that produce energy today will obstruct this process by all means. We can talk about it only after the correction of humanity. But then we will no longer need thermonuclear fusion, because we will connect with the source of upper energy, which operates in a completely different way. Then we will have no problem with energy, we will draw it simply from nothing. There can be no success in the practical use of such a source of super energy like controlled nuclear fusion until humanity succeeds in connecting with each other correctly. From CAB TV's Writers Meeting, December 13, 2022. Rest or movement? It is known that profusion of movement pains man, for it is an indirect extension from his essence. However, it is also impossible to remain devoid of possessions and good, for this, too, is in contrast with the root, since the root is filled abundantly. Hence, we choose the torment of movement in order to acquire filling with possessions. However, because all their possessions and property are for themselves alone, and he who has 100 wants 200, it follows that one does not die with half one's wishes in one's hand. Thus, they suffer from both sides, from the pain of increased motion, and from the pain of deficiency of possessions. Balhar Sulam, The Study of the Ten Sephirot, Inner Observation, Chapter 4, Item 21. Our egoism, that is, our nature, is arranged in such a way that we want to be either in complete rest or to be filled with what we lack. Our entire life is practically in looking how we can be filled with what we desire. Here we always have two options, either to remain at rest or to enter a movement that leads us to fulfillment. And if you have already decided to move, then you should clearly see the goal in front of you. From CAB TV's The Study of the Ten Sephirot, Tess, December 18, 2022. Why are we so preoccupied with sex? Kabbalah and relationships. Tips on how to build successful relationships based on the spiritual principles and understanding of our nature. The spiritual root of sex is the soul's unity with the Creator. In the spiritual world, the soul is united with the light, and this union is called zivug, coupling. It constitutes the unification of two parts of creation, male and female, and is the greatest pleasure that can ever be, the soul being filled by the light of the Creator. This spiritual coupling also has a branch or copy in the physical world, the world of matter. This is why we are so preoccupied with sex, It is the ultimate pleasure in this world, and the root of all of our desires in this world. Sex is the basis of all our thoughts, because its root is the soul's union with the Creator. This union is the final goal of nature, and everything that happens in the world is determined by the final goal. This is why we just can't avoid thinking about sex. Our attraction to the opposite sex and to pleasure also come from this final state, the adhesion with the Creator, called Zivug, never-ending sexual union. The pleasure we feel from sex is a perfect example of the difference between physical and spiritual pleasure. We spend so much time and effort thinking about sex, and we imagine that it will give us enormous pleasure, but in fact our pleasure vanishes into thin air the minute we reach the peak of sexual satisfaction. Before we really had time to enjoy this feeling, it is over and we find ourselves once again striving for another moment of pleasure. This is what happens in our world, because the pleasure that fills the desire immediately neutralizes it. No longer having the desire, we stop feeling pleasure. It leaves us feeling empty, and as life goes on, this emptiness only grows bigger. This is why it is written, one leaves the world with half his cravings unfulfilled. Spiritual pleasure works very differently because being in spirituality means having the ability to receive the light with the intention of giving pleasure to the Creator, to the one who gives you the light. Hence, in spirituality, coupling or sex is continuous and eternal, and it only grows stronger all the time. As a result, one feels eternal life and perfect fulfillment that constantly gets bigger. Obviously, this is very different from the pleasure we feel in our world, where we can only feel momentary pleasure followed by emptiness. This is why it is written that ever since people fell from the spiritual world into our world, only those who attain the spiritual world still feel the real taste of copulation. The true spiritual pleasure is attained when two opposite parts of creation, male and female, merge together and are filled by the common light. Subconsciously, in our souls, we all desire this coupling because we were created for it. On some level, we all aspire to feel the spiritual world because it is the only place where we will find true, lasting pleasure. The world where you are the king? Question. The Merriam-Webster dictionary has named gaslighting as the word of the year. It means the psychological manipulation of a person that makes him doubt the accuracy of his own thoughts or perception of reality and leads to a loss of confidence and to dependence on the manipulator. They say that in our age of fake news, conspiracy theories, and propaganda, gaslighting has become the main thing. Can we dodge gaslighting, or will it reach us, everywhere? Answer: it depends on the kind of person one is. It depends on the individual. One should have his own serious defense against this, his personal basic worldview. Question: so one cannot be pushed from this worldview? Answer: there are, of course, different stages in this matter. But the one who has serious preparation in this can't be pushed. Question: what could it be? After all, propaganda and all this gaslighting penetrate into all holes. Answer: this gaslighting wants to explain to a person that he is controlled. And a person should feel that he controls himself. And here arises the single combat of a person with those who encroach on his independence. Question: is this really an encroachment? Answer: yes. Big time. This is enslavement. But what will you do? That is the world. Comment: in principle, we see that almost 90% are subject to enslavement. My response: and they want it, too. Question: so a person should resist this, to the point where it is either death or resistance? Answer: not to that extent. A person just needs to understand that he can be subjected to such a mental, psychic attack, and that after that he will no longer have free will. And to avoid this he must build himself. Question: what kind of core in a person is it that he has to build in himself? Answer: to do with oneself what others want to do with him. That is, Others want to impose on him some kind of their point of view, worldview, or attitude to the world, and he builds it all himself. Question: so he is ahead of them and builds himself? Answer: yes. Moreover, he is so ahead of them that he can fight them. He can put a wall between himself and them. That is what we need to understand. Question: what does this wall consist of? Answer: this wall consists of confidence in my own method of building the world in myself the way I want it to be. And that is it. Question: what kind of wall will hold? What kind of world should I build that can withstand? Answer: as materialistic as possible, which will resist any attempts to hack this inner world of a person. Question: is it possible only for strong people, or is almost everyone capable of this? Answer: no, I don't think everyone is capable of this. But in principle, this can be taught and people can be pulled out of dependence, from such a sub-level, slavish state. Today, absolutely everyone is in a state where they are controlled, thoughts, pictures, points of view, and so on are imposed on them. Humanity is crawling back into the caves. Comment: there is a very interesting observation. There are millions of views on the internet about those who have gone somewhere, to some kind of isolated community. Someone has gone to the tiger and has been living there alone for 20 or 30 years. A person leaves on his own, and that's it, he leaves other people behind. And people watch and write comments like, "I wish I could do that." My response: yes, but it's not easy. Comment: this is the wall that one has built. And you propose to do it in the active world. My response: absolutely active, without changing anything, only inside yourself. Question: how do you do it? Give us some practical advice. Answer: I built such a wall in myself, as if I shut myself off from the world, from everyone. I live inside myself quietly and alone. No one suspects that I live like this. Comment: it's interesting. You have tens and hundreds of thousands of students, and you say, "This is how I live." My response: it doesn't matter. Comment: share a secret. My response: the secret is very simple. I am building this world within myself, and therefore even if I am in contradiction with the world that is being imposed on me, I do not feel any particular opposition. This contradiction does not crush me and does not fight with me. I just dismiss it and continue. Question: can you at least tell us a little bit about what you have there in that world? Answer: in that world I am the king. And I serve the great creator. That is all. It is very simple. Comment: it's not simple. But I really want to go to such a world. Is there any advice on how to get into it, into this world? My response: crawl. Question: how? Answer: it needs to be built. A person must build it within himself. And when he builds it, he discovers that yes, it can be done, it must be done and it will be forever. Question: is it both security and peace? Answer: it covers absolutely everything. This is the kingdom of the great king. Question: but is he the king? Answer: yes, and you are building for him. Question: and then you find yourself in it? So that he rules there? Answer: in order for me to rule everything for him. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 1, 2022. Empty discussions. Very often, people who do not attain the upper world like to talk about Kabbalah. How can they talk about it if they are unable to implement this method? They do not understand what it is at all and they draw their conclusions by analogy with something that seems similar to them, with Hinduism or some psychological or spiritual practices, nothing more than that. We do not pay attention to it. What can you do with people who talk about what they do not feel and have not experienced for themselves? This is not serious and it is unscientific. It is done by people who either philosophize without attaining the material or express their opinion without understanding anything. I have met such people, and sometimes I had to listen to them because it is inconvenient to tell a person that he is small and stupid, although he may look important, is puffed up like a turkey, and may even be a scientist. As a rule, serious scientists understand that this is not their field. They do not go into what they have not explored themselves. This applies only to philosophers and all kinds of mystics and journalists, those who think they understand something. From CabTVs I got a call. Kabbalah about cults, December 18, 2013. A rare case in the history of humanity. Question: when Nelson Mandela passed away, the whole world started talking about how much he had done for humanity. This man spent 27 years in prison and did not change his views even under the pressure. He is counted among the ranks of the greatest people. To what extent is such a person internally sincere? Answer: human nature is absolute egoism, shallow, and petty, even among so-called altruists and good citizens. I think that Nelson Mandela did not spend all these years in prison in vain and that he realized what was happening in his country. His main task was the future of the country. He knew that if there would not be the right combination between different layers of the population and different races, it would be bad for everyone. Therefore, when he was released, he first engaged in balancing these parts of the population, and not by raising hatred of one against the other. This was his merit. Having reasonably weighed all the pros and cons, he set a course for the unification of society. He did not allow a civil war to develop and hatred to plunge the country into all kinds of problems, provocations, and so on. This was his great contribution and example for all humanity. It is necessary to rise above everything that was in the past, to cross out everything, and develop only together. I do not idealize his actions, but what happened is indeed rare. The same had happened in Israel. This is a well-known story. When Israel was recognized as a state, the Arabs immediately invaded its territory. The Israelis had no weapons, one rifle for several people. And then the ship Altalena was sent to help with weapons and reinforcement. But since there were two parties here, the socialist communist and another, opposite to it, the party that was stronger then sank this ship with weapons right off the shore. As a result, several people died, but the rest were rescued. This could have served as a justification for a civil war. But Menachem Begin, the leader of one of the parties, said, "No, we will not take revenge on anyone. We will leave everything as is and we will fight against the common enemy." There are such examples in history when a great leader takes a step above his eye, above egoism, above taking revenge or putting himself on top. Such people understand that it is necessary to act for the sake of the higher goal. But this is a rarity in history. From CabTVs I got a call. Death of Nelson Mandela.